Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, coming up, details on a big acquisition for the Washington Capitals. We'll fill you in on that later on. Joining us right now from Palm Beach at the NFL owners meetings is my guy, JP Finley. Just wrapped up a four-hour show with young Tobias Altizer on B. Mitch and Finley over on 106.7 The Fan. And JP kind enough to join us here now. Make sure you listen to him again, 106.7 The Fan, 10 to 2. And on the Odyssey app, and as well watch on NBC4. And, of course, Monumental Sports Network. Hello, JP.
What up, Bruce? How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I am good, man.
Yeah, how's the weather down there? I saw Mike Tomlin was sweating profusely when he was on TV. Is it really stinky and humid down there?
It's warm, dude.
Yeah.
And so the radio guys, they built out, you know how the NFL rolls, they build out like whole cities for this stuff.
Yes.
So they built out like a pretty big media center space area that has good air conditioning. But the radio guys are subjected to just being outside in the parking lot. It's warm, dude.
It's shocking that the NFL.
Degrees.
Yeah, it's shocking that the NFL would crap on radio.
You always take things personally. You're not even here.
I know.
But I appreciate your anger in my steed.
Yes, I'm worried about you. I mean,
that's
what this is all about.
It's
all
Florida.
Right. Before we get to what Adam Peters had to say, I wanted to start. You had a really well done rant. I guess it was what now Thursday morning when all indications were that Kevin Willard was leaving for Villanova. Kevin Willard has officially left for Villanova. I can't imagine your anger, frustration has subsided, but your reaction to Kevin Willard leaving for Villanova today is?
Dude, I've reacted enough. I'm done. I want to know. Here's what I can offer. I'm really excited about whoever the next coach is.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to a new AD. I look forward to turning the page. I don't think he's that good. I think this was like two dudes fist fighting over a overweight girl at the bar. Like, let's just I'm
beer,
moving forward.
Beer goggles, baby. Beer goggles.
I'm moving forward with my
life. Do they have to hire an AD first, or do they have to hire a head coach first, or both simultaneously? How do you spin that?
I think the coach has to happen as soon as possible, because I think you're losing time in this transfer portal, and that's how these teams are built now.
Understood, but how do you hire a coach and then
who cares?
Hire
the
his boss.
Hires him, because those guys aren't actually the boss anyway. Like, I think.
What if they don't see eye to eye, JP? That sort of a problem, right?
That's a problem for future us, Chris.
I know.
I think college sports has changed so dramatically over the last. Like, I think it's been microwaved, and I don't think – like, I think the athletic director is the boss of the men's tennis coach or the women's softball coach. I think football and basketball are kind of making their own rules.
Yeah.
And then you got to figure out how you divide up the cash and all that. But
if that's true, and I don't dispute what you're saying or the concept of what you're saying, then what was Willard? You know, Willard shouldn't. If he's truly "quote unquote" the boss, right, or in control, then he shouldn't be as upset about the way things were at Maryland, so much so that he went to Villanova. Even though I think Villanova's a better job, but Villanova's a better job because
maybe
he doesn't have to contend with football.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I can't wait for the new coach. I Willard was leaving all along.
Right.
So he complained about some stuff because he's got to complain about some stuff on his way out.
Because he knew he was leaving,
yeah. Like, he handled everything poorly, and it's over now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
The only acceptable way for me would have been if none of this leaked out, if he didn't say anything, if he just, you know, was asked about it, asked about rumors, speculation. I'm here to coach Maryland. That's it. No comment. Blah, 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 blah. And then he just left Friday or Saturday. I think everybody would have been frustrated, but everybody would have kind of understood. And on top of that, again, no AD in place, whatever. Either way, one last one on that, and then the NFL. Who do you, as a Maryland guy, you care about this. Maybe not as much as Sheehan, but you care about this. Who do you want?
I care a lot. I've given up screaming about Willard because you're screaming into nothing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're screaming into the void, and there are good people that work over there that I don't want to be making their job more difficult. The people that have left I don't think are good people, but that's fine. They're allowed to do whatever they want. Who do I want? I like the idea of this Luke Murray dude, the UConn assistant.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dwayne Simpkins. You know, I think Chris Beard is an excellent coach. There's obviously he got arrested for some terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you handle that.
Terrible accusation.
The guy I wanted was Rick Pitino when they hired Willard.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, my God, you can't hire Rick Pitino. He won't be here for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the guy you wanted isn't here for the long haul either.
Yeah, good.
College
good
sports,
point.
Until something changes, is a straight-up year-to-year gang of mercenaries.
Yep.
So get me the best one of those. And, you know, if it's Simpkins, that'd be dope because you'd like to think maybe he'd coach you for 30 years. Steve Blake is tweeting about wanting to get in. Buzz Williams is fine. I've lost the energy. Like, what Kevin Willard really stole from me and Terps fans was we were all back in and excited,
mm-hmm.
and then he
just ripped it out.
Yeah, he just stole that during what should have been an awesome time, and that was all his choice, right?
The memories will live on forever.
Choice.
The memories will live on forever, to your point.
Tainted. Even when I see the Derek Queen shot, as dope as it is, I'm still going to think about him.
Right. Well, but that's the problem. I mean, essentially, the memories will always be there, but the program was... I mean, because they're going to lose, obviously, Queen, we know that, and Juju Reese to graduation, but they're going to pretty much lose everybody that was a part of that run. And this season, in almost all assurances, whether it be elsewhere or to Villanova or wherever, the point being is it's going to be a completely remodeled house, if you will. Maybe even a brand new house. All right, before I run out of time, and I know you're busy. Go ahead.
Every team, every year, every school is now a completely rebuilt house every year. So there's nothing that prevents them from being able to hit the ground running,
in my opinion. That's fair. Before I run out of time, Adam Peters spoke today. What was
you're the one that keeps asking me about the damn Maryland
questions? Because you're a Maryland guy.
I saved my screaming for my show.
Listen.
Or that we did an hour together when you tried to fire me. I did some screaming then, too.
That's true. Listen, I wanted you on because of Maryland and because of where you're at. I know you're staying at the Big Posh Resort. I understand.
On the other side of the Intercoastal.
You have lunch with Jerry Jones scheduled after this. Is that correct?
Happy hour. Jerry's more of a happy hour guy.
All right, gotcha. So Adam Peters spoke this morning. What was your big picture takeaway? Anything juicy, anything interesting in your eyes?
I think the newsiest thing is that he said, we want to get a deal done with Terry. We've talked to them. I would get the vibe of if that was a, you know, if that is a mile-long journey to a contract, they're at the first tenth of a mile. But, you know, I think everybody is cognizant that Terry needs a rework deal and some guarantees and a raise, and I think it'll happen. That to me would be like the biggest news item. He talked about Debo, talked about Kinlaw. They are clearly way higher on Kinlaw than the Cognoscenti is. I don't know what to make of last year with the Jets. I think the Jets were just so broken that it's hard to get a good evaluation from a lot of those guys. Similarly to how I felt about the Eagles defenders, like with Sweat and Milton Williams, when they were coming available, I was like, man, I have a real tough time evaluating those those two as individuals because that unit was just so damn good. It's almost like the opposite was the case with the Jets. I asked him specifically, you know, you lost Allen, you brought in a bunch of different pieces. How do you feel about your D-line? And I think he feels better about it than they did last year, honestly. And I think a huge part of that that doesn't – maybe, you know, we're culpable in this as well. I don't think we've discussed Johnny Newton enough and what they think he is and can be in addition to Goldman. Roos, I don't know if you agree with this, but, like, I think they very much got different types of defensive linemen than they've had. Goldman, Wise, Kinlaw, like they're all just very different body types, different positions, and I think that is in a real effort to build versatility and like different sub packages and stuff. They haven't had a guy like Goldman since Pot Roast.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's a really good point, and that leads me to this was, you know, I know they're not going to give away trade secrets. Is there any feeling on your end, any reason to believe that Kinlaw specifically will be used both inside and as much inside as he might be outside to A, bolster the edge, and B, again, to be able to rush in different packages because of guys like Goldman and obviously Johnny Newton and Daron Payne, who might be in his last year, and so on. Meaning not just as an interior defensive tackle.
Absolutely. I think now I don't know that they're considering him like an edge rusher per se. You know what I mean? But I think you'll absolutely see him on the edge in spots.
Right.
And I think they want to be able to move him all over the place. I mean, dude, like, Peter spoke really highly of him. He said, we're getting him on the way up. He's a monster. How big he is, whatever he wants to do. I think you'll see him move around. I do think if he can move around and Wise can kind of be an edge setter against the run, which I think is what they really want out of him, I think the player it helps the most is Luvu. I think it allows Luvu to do more and be a pass rusher more.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to sit and be like, all right, well, you lost Allen and you brought these three, four guys in, depending, you know, how far down that list you want to go. But, like, they were pretty intentional with all of this. So, clearly, they think it's going to work. They think it's the right operation.
J.P. Finley from the NFL League meetings. We spoke about Maryland and, obviously, the mess there. Now the NFL. Adam Peters speaking. Dan Quinn tomorrow, correct?
Tomorrow morning for DQ.
Okay, so at the coach's breakfast. That's bright and early. When you look at this roster right now, as we approach the draft, obviously, and less than a month before the draft, clearly, again, edge, defensive end, I would think, is the number one priority, even though they've done a bunch of things, as you just alluded. What else jumps out at you as, okay, they have to walk away with this, say, in the first 2 days of the draft for me to feel good, meaning you, J.P. Finley, not necessarily them. Because they might give you a different evaluation based on whatever. Just you.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. First 2 days, what they have to do. I mean, dude, the name of the football is explosive plays, right? And you add Debo, and he's an explosive player, but it's a unique type of explosion. You'd still like to see a vertical threat, and you lose Diami. And not that Terry isn't a vertical threat, but I mean like a true burner on the outside. Obviously, pass rush is paramount. I still kind of look at the linebacker position, and Wagner was fantastic, and I would expect that again. But at some point, you got to kind of plan on the long term there, right? Like, what else happens at linebacker?
I think I heard you and Toby talking about this this morning, or maybe it was she. I can't remember. I was switching back and forth. But, I mean, Jordan McGee, he's hurt a lot last year, right? But didn't he started one of the playoff games, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember if it was Tampa. He was out there, like,
he was injured. Like, they were super excited about him before the injury in camp. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not ruling that out. I wonder. I mean, as of now, they've just brought back the whole running back room.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you don't draft a back and then really increase that competition in camp.
I think that's a very legitimate. I mean, Eckler's a free agent and missed five games last year. Robinson obviously missed a bunch of games, wasn't right. He's a free agent to be, or one more year left. McNichols, 1 year left. They clearly don't love Chris Rodriguez. I think that might be the number one need overall. I could be wrong on that. Let me ask you one last thing, and then I'll spring you loose because I appreciate you. So he also talked, Peters did, about Laremy Tunsil, who I didn't realize this, but Tunsil represents himself, much like Bobby Wagner. He said they have not had any contract talks, but that would, of course, keep, you know, confidential. Is that something that you expect to happen, say, before the season starts, or is that a, hey, man, we've really got to see this guy with us and how he gels in Cliff Kingsbury's and Bobby Johnson's system. Like, we need to evaluate him in uniform in regular season games, or do you expect that to be, you know, again, a somewhat of a priority, say, before the season?
So I did want to ask, I mean, I asked Adam specifically about Tunsil if there had been talks, because I was just kind of curious.
Yeah.
Maybe there had been, right? Like, and the Debo thing seemed like it wasn't going to happen. Then it happened.
Yeah. But
Debo was going to get 15 of that 17 regardless in a bonus. Mm-hmm. Tunsil does have 10 guaranteed on his deal.
Yes,
so
he does.
It's not like he's playing fully without any guarantees. I don't know, honestly. I don't know. Peters is incredibly tight-lipped. You know, I think if you're Tunsil and you just got traded for the second time in a relatively young career, and you get to play with Jaden Daniels in a locker room that everybody loves, and you're not going to be asked for like a leadership role, which is apparently what he doesn't love, right? You get to just show up and go to work, and you've got guaranteed money on there. I think it's kind of tough. I mean, crazy things happen in the NFL. I think it'd be like kind of tough to kind of demand something.
Yep.
But if it starts well and goes well, I mean, what do we know from the NFL free agent market? Like, the sooner you can rework something, the better it is for all parties.
No, that's fair. Like, that's a fair point.
You know, right. The player gets paid. The team, it's only going to be cheaper today than it will be tomorrow in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't know that, honestly. You know, the Debo deal ended up kind of helping their cap, especially for next year. Like, I think Debo's happy because he gets a sum of cash, but I think that probably was a little more advantageous to the Commanders because they can get out of that next year with, like, really no harm, no foul.
Yep. Yeah, because it wasn't an extension. It was just taking non-guaranteed money to guaranteed. I lied. One last quick one. Did he say anything about Brandon Coleman in terms of what they're thinking?
Did not, but also wasn't asked.
Okay.
The time with AP was relatively tight.
Okay.
And to his credit, the GMs aren't obligated to speak down here, just the coaches.
So, Quinn, you guys could ask Quinn for him to give you a non-answer tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like we asked Quinn and he gave us a non-answer.
Yeah, but that was before they made the Tunsil deal, right?
Right,
so
right.
Now things have changed.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's an interesting subplot. I try not to get too caught up in the kumbaya, you know, like the camaraderie angle. But I am fascinated, and you and I both have coaching friends that have sworn at the gospel of DQ. And then I saw it with my own eyes last year. Like, he really brought that group together.
Mm-hmm.
And all he wants to do is credit the guys for bringing that together, which I understand. But it's a different group now, and you've added some veterans that they know and clearly trust. But, like, you add some veterans to a team that everybody expects to be a playoff team. Like, all of a sudden, it's a different vibe, and I'm fascinated to see DQ kind of manage it.
Yeah. Great stuff. I appreciate you. Go and do whatever it is that you're going to do. Check out on
TV.
NBC on 4 tonight.
4,
there you go. There you go. And then back at it tomorrow at what? 10 a.m., right?
10 a.m.
I'll get your show.
Florida time.
10 to 2. 10 to 2. See how this works, JP?
I like it.
Love you, man. Appreciate you. Be safe. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. JP Finley from Palm Beach and the NFL owners meetings, filling us in on how he views the Maryland situation. And clearly he was kind of annoyed and frustrated about how it all played out. And then, of course, the Commanders with Adam Peters talking earlier today. Again, Dan Quinn tomorrow.